The reading this morning is taken from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and we shall begin reading at verse 17. Hear the word of God. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of God. Amen.
Bibles together, if I may suggest that to you. As you know, on Sunday mornings, we're working our way through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 4, and this morning we're going to cover verse 17 down to verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. Now, the thought that I want you to clearly notice this morning is this. It's going to come home, and I'm sure you picked it up with Alan when he was reading it to us, is that salvation is not a matter of improvement or of perfecting what has previously existed in our lives. You see, friends, what the Bible teaches us is that when we come to Christ and when we are soundly saved, it's not just a case of improving some areas. It's not a case of just adding something extra to our lifestyle. What we're going to see this morning is that when somebody becomes a Christian, it leads to a total transformation of life. There is a total transformation. So the New Testament tells us that when you become a Christian, you develop a new mind, you have a new will, you get a new heart, you have a new inheritance, you develop a new relationship, a new power, a new knowledge, a new wisdom, a new perception, a new understanding, a new righteousness, a new love, a new desire, and a new citizenship. All of those things we've seen in chapters 1 to chapter 4. In other words, remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he is a brand new person. The old has gone, and everything becomes new. For those of you who were with us last Sunday night with Lydia, we saw how God graciously did that for her. Tonight I want to illustrate it from the Philippian jailer. So what I want to share this morning then is simply entitled, Off with the Old and On with the New. That's what's going to be the main theme of this particular passage. But look at verse 17 as we come to it together. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. So friends, underline that little phrase in your Bible. The Apostle Paul is not giving us some of his own advice here. He is telling us that he is insisting on it in the Lord. He is speaking now with the authority of Jesus. That's a tremendously important phrase, that. He's making a solemn claim that what he is writing to us about now comes with all the authority of Jesus. So he is speaking, he is testifying in the sphere of the Lord, in the interests of the gospel. Just two things this morning then. Number one, the walk of the old self. Now what he does for us now in verse 17 to verse 19 is he will describe the four characteristics that marked your life, dear brothers and sisters. This was you and this was me. On the other hand, I want you to realize that these four characteristics are still true in the life of any man or any woman that's never come to Christ. That's why we have in the 120 Club a little opportunity to reach into the lives of men. Why? There are four reasons. Let's have a look at them. Number one, the walk of the old life was in the futility of their thinking. Yeah, that's quite devastating, isn't it, friends? The unconverted person, as far as spiritual and moral issues are concerned, they are unable to think straight. That's what the Bible is telling us. The rational processes in those areas are warped and they're inadequate. That was you and that was me. Our thinking was futile. As far as spiritual matters went, and as far as moral matters went. Now you just think of our world at the moment. It becomes so clear, doesn't it? Look at the news yesterday. Yes, Prince Charles, wanting to become the defender of all the faiths. As if all the faiths are equal, that all bring us to Jesus. You see, if I may say it with grace, that's futile thinking, isn't it? Morally and spiritually, that is terrible. Because there's only one way back to Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to forgiveness. But the natural man doesn't think like that. Because spiritually and morally, they walked, says Paul. Number two, he says they are darkened in their understanding. In other words, they are ignorant of God's truth. The natural person is ignorant of God's truth. So you look at the Da Vinci Code. Over $250 million with the first session of its showing. Now, at heart, that movie is speaking about two fundamental issues that are at strong variance with the Bible. It's encouraging a belief that Jesus is not God, and it's questioning the historicity of the Bible. But you see, the natural person is ignorant of God's truth. They don't grasp the truth of God. It is foreign to them, says Paul. In your old way of life, before God saved you, your thinking was intellectually, morally, and spiritually futile. We can put men in the moon, we can be phenomenal politicians, we can do fantastic things on the sports field. But when it comes to moral and spiritual issues, the person without Jesus is intellectually futile. Ignorant of the truth of God, he says. What's number three? They are separated from the life of God. So spiritually and morally, there's a callousness that has developed over their lives. And number four, he says, they have become depraved in their mind. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality and to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That's a terrible verse, that, isn't it, friends? You look at the back page of the Sunday Times today. That'll show you how this book is so up to date. Look how people live. The moral standards of today. Why do they do it? Why do they live like they live? Well, the Bible is telling us they indulge in every kind of impurity. They indulge in it. They love it. They continue in it. Not only that, it says, but there's a lust for more. They want more of it, and more of it, and more of it. It's immoral. It's not right, but they love it. They enjoy it. Now, the number one song in the hit parade the other day was, how can something be wrong if it feels so right? Feels lovely. Do it, they say. Why? Because from a Bible point of view, the person without Christ is in a desperate situation. Intellectually futile. Ignorant of God's truth. Spiritually and morally callous. Depraved in their mind. And when you put those all together there, you see, friends, that they have become callous. They've given themselves over to sensuality, and they indulge in every kind of impurity. Now, what does the Apostle Paul say to you and to me? He's saying to us this, that was your life in the past. In one degree or another, that was your life in the past. The walk of the old life. Now look at the next verse. Isn't that wonderful? See verse 28? See the difference? Put a little circle around that in your Bibles. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. So where we come, let's move out of the negative. You'll say, thank goodness for that. Let me now show you the positive. Just my second point. Let's show you the walk of the new self. From verse 20 to verse 24. But do notice that verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. You see, my friends, I could repeat myself just a little bit. We must see that where there's a real work of grace, where there's a real conversion, there is a tremendous transformation. The old goes, everything becomes new. So let's have a look at what happens in a real conversion. You see, in the past, intellectually futile. In the past, ignorant of God's truth. In the past, spiritually calloused. In the past, deprived in my mind. Now, look what's occurred. Just four things quickly. The first thing you notice in verse 20 is that we have become Christ-centered. Isn't that lovely? You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. great longing in our lives. Now that you and I have come to know and to love our Lord Jesus Christ, he says a longing, a passion, it's a white hot passion that all we want in life is to know more and more about Christ. Jesus has become the most precious and the most wonderful person to us in our lives. We want to know him. We want to learn of him. And I'm sure it happened to you as it happened to me. When we were converted, what happened? The first thing that you looked for was a good Bible study. Of course it is like it. Why do we have so many in our church? Because where there's a real conversion, we become Christ-centered. What's number two in verse 21? Surely you heard of him and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So the second great characteristic is that we've come to know God's truth. We've come to know God's truth. And how did it happen to us? Well, it tells us very clearly there that we have heard of him and we have been taught of him. And so you and I have come to know the truth. And so we say concerning this Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown is wrong. Absolutely wrong. That whole book is a hoax, friend. I've read the book. I will go and see the film with Mary. We will go and see it. But purely so that I can be able better to help people who are not sure what it's saying. You see, we say Jesus is God. It wasn't something that Constantine put together in the year 323 at the Council of Nicaea. It wasn't Constantine's great idea. Jesus always was God. We've come to know the truth. We've come to love the truth. We've come to preach the truth. It's such a different thing now. All of the different matters, aren't there? So many of your friends say there's no place called hell. A loving God would never send people to hell. And yet once you become a Christian and submit to the Bible, you understand God's truth. All of these matters, how do I get right with God by faith in the finished work of Christ? How do we come to this? Because there's a transformation that's happened in our lives, brothers and sisters, that's massive. It's absolutely massive. We've become Christ-centered, we've come to know God's truth, and what's number three? The third lovely thing is, we have been delivered from the old life. See verse 22? You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Let me read to you a fantastic verse. This comes to mind going through this with you. Listen. You know, he says, that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor swindlers, nor drunkards, nor swindlers will ever inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says. What's the next verse? Wonderful. And this is what some of you were. The adulterers stopped adultery. The swindlers stopped swindling. The idolaters stopped their idolatry. The homosexual offenders stopped their homosexuality. The prostitutes stopped their business. Why? I've become a Christian. Christ has come to live in my life. That's what I was. But I'm not there anymore. The old life is gone. The old me is gone. Finished. It's gone. I've become a new lady. I've become a new man. So we've become Christ-centered. We've come to know God's truth. We've been delivered from the old self. And lastly, number four, in verse 24, to put on the new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. My dear brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. The old is gone now. Jesus has given us a new life now. What the great longings now, he tells us there, the longings now to be made like God in holiness and in righteousness. So those are the two thoughts that Paul wants to leave with us. Off with the old, on with the new. Started a book yesterday on Thanksgiving. A man called David Powell from England. It's a tremendously helpful book. Living a life of thanksgiving. And brothers and sisters, this morning we're coming now to communion. The right thing is for us to come humbly to this table and to remember that my life in the past was lost. I was futile in my thinking, was ignorant of God's truth. The way I lived, the way I spoke, the way I thought, the priorities that I had, the way I spent my time, I now can see we're all wrong. But Jesus died for me on the cross, and he shed his blood for me. And I've invited that Jesus into my life. And that's what's happened. The blood of Jesus has made you a brand new person. You've now become Christ-centered. You've now become someone who loves the truth. The old things have gone. And you are now growing in holiness and in righteousness. Oh, brothers and sisters, come this morning to this table now with a very, very, very grateful heart. That's what you were. But this is what you have become. Off with the old, on with the new. Will you allow me, as a friend, just to ask you one more time, has this happened in your life? Are you sure? Can you say to me, Warwick, I know I'm not what I should be, but I want you to know, there's no doubt in my own mind that I have truly been born again. Quite a few years, you may be even here now, but it was such a privilege for me last Sunday night to pray for one or two of our members. Such a joy, such an honor and privilege. One of our men had been coming up for many, many years. Last Sunday night he said, won't you pray? I want to be sure. I'd love to help you. You are not sure. Off with the old, on with the new. Can we pray? Lord, this is a majestic passage, and it's such a joy Sunday by Sunday just to go verse by verse through these books and to allow your word to Speak to our hearts. Lord, we can never, ever thank you enough for our salvation. We are so conscious of what we were, spiritually and morally, futile, ignorant, callous, depraved, until in your mercy alone and grace, we were saved. Oh, we bless you and praise you and love you, our gracious God, for the work of salvation that's happened to us. That we are no longer what we were, but we have become new people. I pray, again, if there be those that are not sure, that these passages would bring them wonderfully clear, certain that they're in the kingdom. And we pray now that you will be with us, please, Father God, as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We do it with humility and with great joy. Amen.